Welcome to our podcast. And this one, I was thinking about what to talk about. I have a list somewhere of ideas, but it's a, oh my, it's Sunday. Let's do a podcast day. And it's Easter Sunday. So I got thinking about holidays with your service dog and vacays with your service dog. And I thought those, both of those would be two super good podcast episodes. But since today is a holiday, it's going to be holidays with your service dog. And holidays, a lot of times people travel. So we'll start with travel with your service dog. This is Victoria Warfel with Hope Service Dogs and Heart and Soul Dog Training. I am your source for all things service dog related. I've been doing this for 20 years, and it's pretty awesome. I like my life. I like my job. It works out really good. But how do you travel with your service dog? Well, first, if you're going to fly, drive, train, what is it, trains, planes, and automobiles, they all have different requirements for service dogs. If you have a service dog in training, most airlines will not allow that dog to fly and be on the plane with you. However, airlines also, different ones are different, right? There's a form to fill out now, and as long as the dog is potty trained, basic manners, foundation skills, and at least one task, some airlines will consider that dog as a service dog as young as 4 months old. This is not me telling you to lie to the airlines. This is read the different airlines because they all have their different set of rules and requirements. And for some of them, it specifically says in there, service dogs must be 4 months old and older. Okay, I'll let that sink in a bit. And this isn't weirdo airlines where, you know, there is none. This is like actual real legit airlines here in the US. If it doesn't say the age of the dog, this is what you do, is you reach out to the airline via email, so you have a paper trail of it, stating my service dog, or the dog, the service dog I have in training, however you want to phrase it, my service dog is blank years old, and this is information about my service dog. For example, when Django, who was my second Malinois I was training up as a service dog, when he was 3 months old, we flew from Florida to Missouri for Nipopo, and I wanted to take him really bad, but he was only 3 months old. So what did I do? I reached out to the airline and I said, hey, my name is Victoria. I'm a professional dog trainer specializing in service dogs, and I need to fly from Florida to Springfield, Missouri, right? And I believe this was Allegiant Airlines is what I used, who I used to fly whenever I would fly up there. I've been training. This dog is my service dog. Again, I'm a professional trainer. But here's his Instagram, because this is before I was as popular on TikTok. Here's his Instagram, so you can see what he's been working on. You know, he's good with potty training. He's 3 months old, though. 3 months old. I'd had him for 4 weeks. I didn't have him started on tasks, right, at all. And they looked at his Instagram. And they saw, because I documented a lot, you know, what we were doing training-wise and outing-wise, and they allowed him to fly with them there and back. So asking works, and I had emailed them, so I had the email response whenever I went to fly in case somebody at the airport gave me problem. Nope, see, look, I had emailed them, and it was okay. So never hesitate to ask, but you might have to airline shop a little bit because some airlines may be more strict than others. For example, when I was flying with Gypsy, was it Gypsy? I think it was Gypsy. I was flying with one of my service dogs at one point, and I wanted to travel. You know, it was going to be a while, so usually I'll just pack the dog's stuff in my bag, but I wanted to see about having them have their own bag. You know, like you're supposed to be able to fly if the bag is just stuff for your medical equipment, which is your service dog, they shouldn't charge you a bag fee for it. And that's what I was hoping for. You're supposed to be able to bring a crate along and not have to pay any extra also. So I reached out to, I believe it was Delta, and I said, hey, I'm traveling with my service dog. I just wanted to clarify, can I bring a bag of the dog's supplies, you know, her food, her grooming stuff, her nail stuff, you know, all the stuff that she needs, her toys. Can I bring that on board? And they said, yes. I said, well, I have to pay a extra bag fee, or is there no fee because she's my medical equipment? And they're like, oh no, you have to pay an extra bag fee. And I said, what? So why do I have to pay an extra bag fee? She's my medical equipment. And they're like, because it's a bag. I'm like, but it's for my service dog, my medical equipment. And they're like, nope, too bad. It's still, you're going to have to pay for that additional. And I said, well, that doesn't seem fair. So I said, if I was on oxygen and I was trying to bring extra oxygen tanks, would you charge me for it? And her answer was, yes, we would. And I said, okay. Thanks, Delta. I won't be booking you for this flight. Right? And I didn't. And other people have flown with crates and not had to pay for it. I think I might have flown with a crate at one point and not had to pay for it. But other times, you know, they'll try to charge you because people don't understand service dogs aren't as popular as we like to think they are, right? So not only is bad information available, but people can have bad experiences and then that becomes the norm. And we don't like it whenever that happens. So if you're flying, just verify it with the airlines. Now there is a Department of Transportation, DOT form that you must fill out for the airlines. There's also a organization called Open Hands, I think is what it's called. And they do, they vet the dogs. So we've had people, and you can write down that you've self-trained. You know, which trainer have you used? I've had people put down me when I've never met the person. I've had people put down me whenever they've just done our online course. Well, that doesn't count. So they will contact whoever you put down to verify the accuracy of it. And if you tell me, if you're, you know, a client that I've worked with in the past, and you tell me that your dog has been retired and or washed and is no longer a service dog, and then they contact me to fly with that service dog, I'm going to tell them what you told me. I'm not going to lie to the airline for you. I'm not lying to the federal government for you. That's not going to happen. So if you tell me that you washed your dog and they call up and they say, hey, is this dog a service dog for his owner? I'm going to say no, because a month ago they sent me an email stating that this dog is no longer a service dog. Right? Like, you think I'm going to lie for you? I'm not going to lie for you. I'm not going to lie for anyone. Thanks. Okay. And if you put down my name or Hope's name, Hope Service Dogs, and they contact me and I've never heard of you, I'm not going to lie for you either. Okay. So if you have self-trained, that is legal. You can write down that you self-trained and you put your name and your phone number and your email down there as trainer. Don't make up stuff. Because I've talked to other trainer friends. I have trainer friends all over. I've talked to other trainer friends and this has happened with them also. Where it's, you know, like I had somebody reach out to me and I didn't know that the dog was training as a service dog. Like, they never told me this whenever we did our puppy classes 2 years ago. Then tell them no. Say, hi, Open Doors. Yeah, that person was in my puppy class 2 years ago and came to 8 classes with me, but I haven't seen them in 2 years. That's all I can tell you, right? Don't make stuff up. Don't say, oh my gosh, they're the greatest service dog team I've ever seen. Because oftentimes what Open Doors would ask is to verify the names and that the dog is a service dog and what task the dog has been trained for. What task the dog has been trained for, right? Not what's their disability, right? So there's two questions that can be asked from ADA. And that is, is this a service dog required because of a disability? And what task or work has the dog been trained to perform? And that's it, right? You can't say, and what's wrong with you that you need a service dog? That's not cool, guys. We don't do that. Okay. So if you're flying, I have not done a train ride like Amtrak type of stuff or a Greyhound type of stuff with my service dog. I've done trains though. No, I've done flights. I haven't done trains. Yes, I have done trains. No, this is what happens when I try to multitask. So I have done flights with my service dog and with multiple service dogs over the years. And it's pretty easy. As long as you do the paperwork. Now, some of them want it beforehand. Some of them want it at the gate. I always have an extra copy. And what I do, because it is a PDF, the DOT form is I just keep that on my computer saved with my dog's information in it, so I don't have to rewrite it out every time. And then I have a packing list for whenever I do travel, and that packing list has, you know, the DOT form on it. I also keep a copy on my phone, and I keep a copy in my usual carry-on bag and my usual luggage, just so I make sure I have it. Now, I'm not gonna pack it in my checked bag, because packing it in your checked bag means you might not have it all the time, but you can also have multiple copies and that's gonna be okay, okay? So we have that. When you get to the airport with your service dog, you're gonna have to get through security. And when you get through security, when you get up to the front, you're gonna have to give them the form whenever you're checking in and all. Then you get to security and you're gonna have to have your dog in a sit stay or hand them off to somebody that you're traveling with. You go through the metal detector thing, and then you can call your dog to come through, or, you know, the person kind of hands them to you, right? The person that you're traveling with. So that's how that goes. And then you can re-gear your dog. So I usually take off the gear from my dog, any vest that he has on, you know, I show off a little bit whenever I do it. And so my dog, I put him in a sit stay and he is naked. He doesn't have his collar on or anything. I put all that through the machine. But you don't have to do that, of course. You know, like, keep the collar on your dog. If you want to keep the vest on your dog, just know if you keep the vest on your dog, security is going to fondle your dog's vest. So this is where name and explain or name game comes in, and you just tell your dog what's going on. Is they're going to come over, they're going to touch around your collar, they're going to touch your vest, their hand's going to go under your vest. The fun stuff, right? So that's going to happen. And then you're going to re-gear, put your shoes back on, and all the fun stuff that goes with that, and then head over to your gate. Now, when you get to your gate, you tell them that you are traveling with a service dog, and usually they will put you in for priority boarding. If not, when they call you to board, whenever it's time for boarding, they'll say, you know, like, boarding's going to begin soon. Anyone who needs extra time, now is the time to board. That's you, if you need extra time to board. And it doesn't matter if it's Southwest, where the seats are a free-for-all, or if it is a seat with assigned, an airline with assigned seats, right? Either way, you get to board early. Now, usually when I travel, I bring one of my wheelchairs now with me, which makes it a lot easier. And whenever I travel, it's, you know, the wheelchair and the service dog. So I get to be one of the first to go, right? Sometimes they want to put the old people in front, you know, who just have the wheelchair and somebody to help them. And I'm like, I don't always have somebody to help me. So I want to go first. Sometimes they forget about me and they, you know, I met where Jamie and I were flying somewhere. I think it was to DC for the Association of Service Dog Providers for Military Veterans annual conference last summer. And we were doing some scent work with Bert while we were waiting, you know, hiding some Q-tips and letting him find them and then throwing them away afterwards. And they're like, okay, now it's time for regular boarding. And I'm like, wait a minute, when was you know, slow people boarding? They didn't give it to us. So we had to get on. And that was a lot harder because people are already on there. And I felt like I slowed the line down because, you know, we had to maneuver with unloading from the wheelchair, and I can walk, like you've seen me walk, like I can walk, so it's not one of those, I need the little transfer to get in, because if not, then they put you on a little wheelchair that's the size of the aisle in the plane, and they take you in there, and then they help you transfer, and of course, that's going to take longer, but, you know, I can walk some, so it's a little easier, but it's still that hold up, and I don't like having the hold up, you know, I feel guilty about it. Which is stupid. I shouldn't feel guilty about it, but I do. And then, you know, maneuvering in there, you know, with Bert, and then everybody saying, oh my gosh, look, it's a dog. Look, there's a dog on here. Oh, is that a golden? No, I bet it's an Irish setter. Is that an Irish setter? She's so pretty. I'm like, thank you. He is a very handsome dog, right? And it's just a lot. So usually if we get in there first, people are so self-absorbed while they're sitting up there waiting that they don't notice that I have a dog with me. At all. They don't notice a service dog at all until we deplane. And then even then, they often don't notice it. Another reason I like to do it. I like to sit bulkhead, which is that very first row, if I can. However, if I can have a row with an empty seat beside me, I'm happy to take not the front row, any of the other rows, if I can have an empty seat beside me. Because then, you know, it's just a little more room. And I'd rather have a little bit more room that way. You know, Bert can stretch out a little bit more. And Bert's not a huge dog. He's travel size. Right? So it works out good for us. We do the flight. We just sent Castus Bella, went home yesterday. And she flew. She did absolutely amazing. So I was very happy. But she, her owner had made her up a frozen Kong. She actually had DoorDash bring her over some canned dog food, which we had some here and I would have sent with her if we would have had time for it whenever she was here and I would have remembered to grab it for her. But she did up a frozen Kong, and then Emily had a strawberry flavored yak chew. So she had those for the flight. She had some toys so she could play while she was waiting. Because that's one thing that we do recommend is while you're waiting for it, it's a great time to practice, you know, oops, retrieve. If you happen to forget to give back your door key and it's one of those credit cards, that makes a good retrieve toy too, especially if you're on carpet, which a lot of the airport waiting areas are carpet for sound. So we've got a dog who is good to go, right? And it's a whole bunch of new stuff. So again, we just use name game to explain to the dog what it is that's going on. Whenever you land, I always let everybody else get off first, which sucks when you're sitting bulkhead and you're the very first one, because I have to wait for them to bring my chair up. And sometimes it takes a while for them to bring that chair up. So whenever they finally get the chair up, most of the time people are done. But then the nice thing is you usually can get right into the bathroom to go potty, you know, at the airport area. And your luggage is waiting for you on the carousel. So there's good, there's bad. What else? Rental cars. I let the rental car people, I always write down that I'm going to be traveling with a service dog. If you want to bring a king size sheet, flat or fitted, for the back, you know, that's always good too. You could put that in there for your dog to get in. If you have your crate, you know, you pop that up. You get your luggage. It can be a lot to handle depending on what you're doing. With the wheelchair, I have little hooks and I'm like, how about I strap the rolly chair to the rolly suitcase to my chair, but that doesn't always work out good. So I think of that when I'm packing. Okay, I've got the wheelchair, I've got the dog, I've got one bag. Can I put a bag on top of it? Can I attach it to my wheelchair somehow? There is a special, I think it's Falcon. Makes it. It's a British company, and it's made for the wheelchair. Like it's a rolly thing that you hook to the back of the chair, so you don't have to deal with that. And that is on my wish list. Right now, I don't travel enough on my own to justify it, but it looks really amazing. I really like the idea of it. Okay, so we've got those. We have sometimes the rental car people want to charge you extra as a pet fee. As long as it's not an above and beyond normal conditions, they cannot charge you any extra pet fee. Now, if it comes back and the thing is coated in sand and dirt and dog fur, like that's not how it's supposed to be. But if they find like two stray hairs on it, they can't charge you for it. So if you want to take one of those rolly lint cleaner things, that should be fine. Makes you know, clean up a little bit easier for everybody. Hotels, same thing. I let the hotel know I'm traveling with a service dog. When we check in, no, that doesn't mean you get the dog-friendly rooms. I actually prefer not staying in a dog-friendly hotel. I don't like dog-friendly hotels because there's monster dogs everywhere, right? So I try to stay clear of dog-friendly hotels if I can, which means sometimes, you know, the hotels are like, we're not dog friendly. That's okay. He's a service dog. And we've had it asked also, where's his papers? There are no such things as service dog papers. Yes, there is. No, there's not. So what I've told them after doing that a few times is, hi, I'm executive director of Hope Service Dogs. No, there's not. But if you'd like to see papers, I can show you his rabies certificate. Does that work? And oftentimes they're like, yep, that works. As long as you show me something, I'm good. I'm like, okay. that works then. So we'll do that. Okay, travel, holidays. Now your family might not be very familiar with what to do with a service dog. Okay, what was it? Close to 2 years ago, we flew with Bert up to Wisconsin. Rich's dad had passed away and we went up for the funeral. And it was my first time in Wisconsin in like 20 years, but I brought Bert. And he was 6 months old, I think 6 months old at the time. And this was his first flight. He did fantastic. We get up there and his family hadn't really been around him all that much. Like when they would come down and we'd sometimes see them and go out to eat and all, they'd see him sometimes, or see a service dog sometimes. But, you know, this was like hanging out at the house and the kids were there for a while. So, you know, he got to play with them and, you know, it's a funeral. It wasn't the most happiest of times. So he got to visit with the kids and, you know, play with everybody. And so he enjoyed that because he's still a dog, right? And he's still going to play. And he was, I think, like I said, 8 months old. So we did that. We had a hotel while we were up there. So he got to do that. But the weird thing was, in my mind, because I've been dealing with this, I got diagnosed at 19. I've been passing out with POTS and dysautonomia since I was in the single digits. And I thought everybody knew, like, heck, even whenever Rich and I got married, it was the rehearsal dinner. I was so dizzy. I was just about passing out. So my cousin had to stand in for me. And I sat in the aisle, you know, like with my legs up. The wedding, I was so proud of myself because I didn't pass out. But people weren't aware that I've had this issue. So when they saw me with a service dog, it was, oh, that's so nice that you train dogs for others. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh, who are you training him for? I'm like, no, he's mine. But like they didn't get it because they didn't know. And, you know, it's nothing wrong on them. It's just like, oh. So while you might think that your whole family understands your medical condition and your service dog and that you have a service dog, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they don't know why you have a dog. They don't realize it's a service dog. They don't know what all service dogs can do for people. So, you know, it's always good to be a little, maybe a little more open than what you are with the general public with it. So they do understand it because they are your friends and your family, right? Now, sometimes your family might say, no, I don't want you to bring that dog with you. That dog don't go, I don't go. So if you don't want the dog, you're not getting any of us. And luckily, I've never had to deal with that. Because, I don't know. You know, like, maybe because we put a lot out there that if people wanted to know what the dogs were like, they could just look it up and see that the dogs are good, they're well-behaved. You know, they're not going to jump all over everybody. And it works. Okay? So then you have the visiting. Now, when you're at somebody else's house, what if they have dogs? Have fun! Because I've trained dogs, again, professionally for 20-some years. And sometimes the dogs are hellions and the people think that they're the greatest. So you can ask, you know, if you're there and you have to be there 24/7 and they have dogs there, it might be better to stay elsewhere or to get a hotel. Like we had got a hotel when we went up to Wisconsin just to make things easier. You know, we had a hotel and it was, it made it a lot easier. We didn't have to worry about anything. We had our downtime. Bert had his downtime and it was much nicer. Right. Then if we would have been like, no, we're going to stay with you guys too. And somebody gets to sleep on the couch and it's not me. So it worked. When we would travel pre-service dog, whenever I was a kid, right. I was born and raised outside Pittsburgh. And then we moved to Connecticut when I was 10 and to Wisconsin when I was 13. So we'd always do these cross-country trips in order to see family for Thanksgiving. And sometimes in the summer too, but always at Thanksgiving. And we'd stay, because we didn't have a house down there anymore, you know, we'd stay with my grandparents. And sometimes we'd stay with one, sometimes we'd stay with the other. Who has more room? You know, that was one that we, you know, when my grandfather passed and his house was empty, we just took over his whole house, so we didn't have to worry about splitting, you know, some of us going with him and some of us going up with my other grandparents. So, you know, what makes more sense if somebody's there, cousin's there, an aunt, uncle, a friend, and they have a whole extra bedroom for you? That's gonna be a lot easier than sleeping on the couch somewhere. Right? It is. Trust me on that one. Especially with the dogs. So if you're going to see a family members and they have their dogs, you know their dogs aren't well trained, ask them if they can put their dog up, you know, for the events that you're there for, you know, if they could crate their dogs. If that's a no, your dog's safety always has to come first. So if the dogs aren't good around other dogs, don't chance it. Either don't go. Leave your dog at that place that you're staying at in a crate and go visit for an hour or two and then you're done. Right? Because you've got to put yourself first and you've got to put your dog first. And if they're upset with you, if family's upset with you because you know, you didn't come and spend all this time with them and their little Cujo dogs, well, you don't have to because they're little Cujo dogs. Right? And your dog's safety, right? You and your dog's safety both come first. So that's always a first priority for us. We went to go visit Jamie's parents at the beach. We were supposed to do a scent trial and it was canceled, last minute canceled. So we went anyway because we needed a vacation. And we brought Bert and Magic. Magic is like 5 months old at this time, and Oliver. So we descended on them with three dogs. Two intact males and a 5-month-old puppy. And they were amazing, awesome about it. You know, they had stuff prepped for us. They had doggy toys, you know, some of them, because they had some, most of them over here with Jamie. They had some doggy toys. They had a life vest there for them because they had the pool. They had, you know, the water bowl they had just got out for them because they don't have a dog. So it made it way easy, you know, descending upon them. We also, let's say, I haven't gone to visit my family up in Freeport, which is the one outside of Pittsburgh, in a long time. So I don't know if or when I would ever do that again. Funness, right? But I'd bring Bert for sure. But it's just a matter of what, you know, where we're going and what's going on. So if we're going, like I said, to visit somebody who has a dog, and I don't know that dog, I'm not introducing my dog to them. They could be in a crate in another room with the door shut between us if they want me and Bert to go visit. Restaurants. Sometimes whenever you travel, you hit up different areas, right? In some of those areas, when we went to Washington, D.C., well, Alexandria, this is our first IACP conference that we had gone to. Luke was, gosh, I think 11 or 12 years old. And it was up in Alexandria, Virginia. It's right outside DC. We went to go to an Italian restaurant we had found online that looked really good. And we get there and they have an issue with the dog. Okay. Do we fight this? Or do we go find someplace else that's going to be dog friendly and eat there? Because I don't want to risk them spitting in my food or getting shitty service. So sometimes I don't have enough spoons to deal with stuff. I had also traveled with a friend to Salt Lake City for a workshop. We each had a service dog with us, and we get to the hotel, and the hotel person says, "Nope, no dogs." We're like, but wait a minute. You know, we made the reservations, they're service dogs, and we put on there that they were service dogs. Nope, no dogs, no dogs, no dogs, no dogs. And they had paid for it with points, you know, credit card or hotel points. So they got a refund on those, and we went next door to another hotel. And not only did we get a much nicer room, but we got them connecting so we could leave the door open and we could see each other and the dogs could see each other and play. Or, you know, we could shut it and have some privacy, but it was way easier than having to deal with, are they going to give us the room with the bed bugs? Are they going to clean our room? Are they going to treat us like crap the whole time? Like, I don't want to have to deal with that. Now, we followed it up because it was the husband stayed home, and so her husband emailed them right away whenever he found out about it, and emailed corporate, and you know, lodged complaints. I don't think anything ever came of it, but you know, we do what we can with the amount of spoons that we have. You could also reach out to the Department of Justice, DOJ, and file a complaint, but you have to have, like, it has to be something big. So I was refused service in Bushnell. Here there's a hot dog stand restaurant that had cheese curds, and I like cheese curds. I think they have fried pickles, and I like fried pickles. And Sam had gone a bit, and so we were looking at going, and I walked in there with Bert, and I had, I think, Rich and two or three of my trainers, and they had some six-month-old pups that they were unloading from the car and gearing up to bring in as a service dog and training outing. And the owner's talking to me, and he says, you know, because like people ask questions, it was our first time there, and I'm usually a pretty nice person. And he's asking me questions, and he's like, well, the dog's not yours. And I says, nope, this one's mine. I said, those ones we do train up for others, you know, that the team's unloading from the vehicles. But I said, no, this one's mine. And he looks at me, and he's like, nope, I'm not dealing with this today. You're not welcome here. Get out. Excuse me? So we left, and says, no. I said, we're not eating here, because Rich was just about ready to come in. Rich likes to eat out. So we're not eating here today. I'm like, the guy's a wanker. And he's like, hey, now. No, you kicked me out. What do you want me to say? Oh, he's just so nice. No, he's a jerk. And I posted about it. I had left him a negative Google review. Because what else are you going to do? And, you know, it's just how things go, right? I'm not going to. I filed with the Department of Justice. And, of course, they're like, it's a hot dog stand in Bushnell. And we have not had a lot of complaints about it, so there's nothing we can do. Now think about it. It's a hot dog stand, and we train service dogs, and we live in the same town. And there's, he has, I think, two or three other of these hot dog stands, restaurant places. So how cool would it have been if he wasn't an ass to be able to do like a Dogs for Dogs fundraiser, where a portion of the proceeds for every hot dog sold goes to help a service dog nonprofit? That would have been pretty cool, right? Well, we'll never know because he was a jerk. But yeah, so I can call up and complain. You can also, what I recommend doing is recording. You know, take out your phone and say, I'm recording you now. You're refusing me entry because I have a dog. Or why are you refusing me entry, so you're not putting words into their mouth? If it's out in public, there's no expectation of privacy. If you're inside, like inside here, there is an expectation of privacy. Inside stores, is there an expectation of privacy? That's why if it's a two-party versus a one-party consent state, Florida is a two-party consent state, so both have to be aware, so I'm not going to sneakily go in there. But if I go in there with a, or into a place, like we also just got a GoPro. So we have a GoPro with a dog mount. So if I walk in like that and it's pretty obvious that it's a GoPro, like we had it up at Global Pet Expo and people commented more than they comment on dog booties. Look, he's got a GoPro. Look, he's got a GoPro. Look, she's got a GoPro. And I'm like, yep. So if you go in with recording like that to record your dog and you happen to get something else, I don't think that's going to be an issue. So we've got that, right? What else we got? I also had one in Gainesville. There was a Mexican place that we would go to quite often. It was good. We liked it. And we went there once with a little dog that we were training up to be a service dog for somebody, and her vest hadn't arrived because she was little. She was like a little pocket dog, which, yeah, I know some people are like, they can't be service dogs. Yes, they can be service dogs. It depends on what you need from them. And, you know, how many times do I have to tell you I love Goldens as service dogs for multiple reasons, including size-wise. You know, like people see them and they don't think, oh, wait a minute, that's a little, I don't know, Maltese. Maltese can't be service dogs. Any dog can be, it's just set yourself up for more success than less, and more less issues, less access issues, right? So we had this Maltese. We sat down, and then I found out two of my trainers, one of my trainers and her boyfriend were going to come and meet us at the restaurant. So I said, hey, I just found out that we have a couple who are coming to join us. Could we get a bigger table? Because our table was only a two-seater. And he said, sure. Perfect. So we walk to the front of the restaurant, and he says, that's it. You're not allowed in here. I said, why? He says, because I don't believe that dog's a service dog. Well, legally, she does not need to be vested. And in Florida, service dogs in training have the same accessibility as fully trained service dogs. You know, here's the statutes. Nope, don't care. And remember, I told you it was a Mexican restaurant. The trainer friend had just joined us, and she spoke Spanish. So she translated, and he got on the phone with, he didn't know that she knew Spanish, but he got on the phone with his, the owner, and he was saying, yep, she says it's a service dog. I just don't believe it's a service dog, and I don't want to serve them. So we had to call the sheriff, because it's outside city limits. It was in the county. So we called the sheriff to come and file a report, and the sheriff never arrived. Apparently, because Rich had done a ride along with them beforehand, you know, when they get the stuff that comes up with, you know, these are the calls that you have to respond to, they can pick which ones they feel qualified to do. So the issue was nobody felt qualified to deal with service dogs. And this is right before we moved out here. One of the reasons that we moved was we wanted more space to be able to do what we wanted to do, and we wanted to be closer to Disney. So we're now just an hour from Disney instead of 2+ hours from Disney, minus traffic, and it works out a lot better. But this was right, like I said, right as we were moving, right before. So the police finally came and did a statement, took our statement, and said, you know, can you come in and teach our people, our officers, during a shift change? And I'm like, most definitely, we can do that, not a problem. However, you know, we are in the process of moving to a different county. Well, once they heard that we were moving to a different county, they were like, okay, cool, then we're all good here. Okay, thanks. I'm like, no, that's not how that works. But okay, fine. So we never did do that, even though they tried to cover butt. So we never ate there again. You know, in the few times that we were there in Gainesville, and we went to Mexican, there was another place that we liked that was welcoming, and that's where we went to. Because after the adrenaline died down from the confrontation, we went there, and that's where the officer met us. And they had never had a problem. This second restaurant had never had a problem with us being there. So, you know, like, that's just where we went, and that's where we'd recommend people go whenever people needed to do Mexican when they were in Gainesville. So some of it, when you're dealing with issues, is about how many spoons do you have to get you through the day? How much can you deal with this? And some of it is helping out for people who are going to come after you, okay? But traveling to see family can be hard because it's different, right? So you're going to have less spoons. The stuff that you want to have ain't necessarily going to be there. And you want what's best for you and what's best for your dog. So how can you make that possible? We're going to ease up on what we ask from the dog. We're not going to expect, you know, absolute perfection. We're going to grant them that it's going to be more tiring for them too, right? And grit and bear it as much as we can. Plan ahead, you know, have a backup plan. So if you get to the airport and there's an issue, that's why you print up the form saying that it's all good. We had one it's actually happened a couple times, where the airline was like, nope, I heard a dog bark. And the person was like, yeah, it's this dog in the carrier that's hidden barked, not my dog. No, but doesn't matter. This is from one of our clients. So they wouldn't allow them to fly. So the client had a couple options, and she ended up renting a car and driving home. Like, holy smokes. You know, sometimes it's a little ridiculous, you know, people trying to sneak through with their dogs, or they could pay a pet fee and their dog's in a carrier, and then they've sat next to me and they're like, look, I've got a dog too. And they whip their dog out of the carrier and shove it in my dog's face. I'm like, I don't want to see your dog, and neither does my service dog, thanks. right? So, you always have to be watching when it comes to people because they're weird. It's the dog thing. They're just all weird. They want to touch. They want to tell you about their dead dog. They want to tell you their dog stories. Okay. What else do we have for traveling, for holidays and stuff? Watch because your schedule's off. You know, over the holidays, your schedule's way off versus what it usually is. And understand that, right? So your dog, his schedule is going to be off too. And that's okay. It's okay. It's not a problem if your dog's schedule is off. Just remember to give him a break or her a break, right? Give your dog a break. And watch the food. You know, if you're seeing relatives and the relatives are like, oh, like, let me make him up a plate of food and he can eat while we're eating. And you're like, no, he eats after we're eating from his bowl, not from the table. Advocate for yourself. Advocate for your dog. And have fun. Have so much fun. Okay? I'm going to add doing how to do Disney and Universal. And I've talked about it before, but things always change a little bit. So you'll get to hear some fun park stories maybe next week, including... I had somebody who was one of our, we've let go a couple people. We've only really had to fire one person for gross incompetence. And what she had done, she wanted to take one of the dogs in to Disney and work the dog at Disney. So, okay. So she was allowed to take the dog into Disney because this was before we saw the incompetence. And, She put him in a crate with another dog. You never, ever put two dogs in a crate together. Especially when you don't know the second dog. She had no idea who the second dog was, but she put him in a crate with this other dog. I'm like, no, you don't ever, ever do that, ever. Remember your dog's safety. So when you're traveling, visiting family, don't ever, ever put your dog in a crate with another dog. Okay. Especially whenever you don't know that dog at all. But this is Victoria with Service Dog Success, our podcast for all things service dog related, because we are setting the standard in service dogs. And if you like it, you can find us on every place awesome podcasts are. We also record them and put them up on YouTube so you can see it. And in order to get her done, I do it while I'm doing my makeup. So if you want to watch that, YouTube is your place. If you don't want to watch that and you just want to listen to me instead, podcast players are good too. Okay, I will catch you guys next week. Have an awesome, happy Easter.